1 week ago, federal judges reinstated a 2011 law that says that voters must present a photo ID to vote in the November 4 elections for governor, attorney general, and other state offices. 1 week later, thanks very much to Kevin Kennedy, general counsel and director of the Government Accountability Board, to talk about this. And the purpose, Kevin, is to just try to help voters understand it. But let's go back to the basics. Every voter on November 4 must have a photo ID. Any exceptions, sir?
There are really no exceptions for people at the polling place. People who have some religious objections to getting a photograph get a special card that doesn't have it on it in from the DOT.
One thing that strikes me is the number of potential voters. Now, thanks for bringing your table. You're looking at potentially more than 2.1 million turnout on November 4. And my baseline is the 2010 turnout.
Yeah, looking at both the 2010 numbers and the 2012 recall numbers, you know, we're looking at just over 50% turnout. Could get higher. You know, the closer a race is, the more public interest there is. And so those are pretty high numbers for gubernatorial elections. So, yeah, 2.2 million.
And these votes will be cast at how many polling places? Give me the number again.
Just under 2,800 polling places throughout the state.
Okay. How do you see your job now in the last week to communicate the new rules to the local clerks, who will then pass it on to the local poll workers? I know it's been a hectic week, but just
It's part of it's reviving what we've done. You know, we spent a good part of 2011 designing training materials, informational materials for voters, television and radio ads for voters about the new ID, and we put that in place for one election in 2012. So a lot of it is bringing back what we did, which is appropriate since our theme is bring it to the ballot, meaning bring your ID to the ballot.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring back that material. We spent some time in anticipation of this, reviewing that material. We are hoping to go to Joint Finance in a week or two to have them release a few $100,000 that they had set aside for voter ID that we would try and get some advertising money out there, some advertising on the air. Yes, a lot of time and effort is being directed at reaching out to the clerks. You know, we're holding special webinars, giving them materials that they can train their poll workers. I mean, one of the things that I've said I've been very confident in is that Wisconsin's election officials, starting with our office, our 72 county clerks, but more importantly, our 1,852 municipal clerks, have always been dedicated to making sure that the voters can participate. And so they will go the extra mile. This is not the first time they've had to do that. They stepped up to the plate in 2012 with extra elections to run with no budgets to do that. You know, you can count on the local election officials to be looking out for the voters to make sure that they have every opportunity to participate.
Is it GAB's job to make voters aware of the new photo ID law, that has been reinstated? Are you going to use PSAs, or is it the job of local clerks, legislators, or is it all of the above?
It's all of the above. We have some responsibilities
for that. Seems that you're the lead agency, right?
Well, we're the lead agency. That's right. You know, essentially, we're the ones, you know, who said we need to move forward with this now that the law has changed. So, yes, we're taking the lead on this, but you know, one of the benefits of having a hotly contested election at several different levels is it galvanizes people. It means they're starting to pay attention to the rules, and this is a big rule change, and so it's something that people will pay attention to. We know that well over 90% of the voters already have what they need. They have a current a state driver's license or a state ID card,
right,
or a passport,
right,
or in some cases a military ID, tribal ID. They have what they need in most cases. And so we're just a little less than 7 weeks out from the election, so we try and focus on, to the extent we can, by reaching groups that get the people that serve the elderly, working closely with colleges and universities and technical colleges.
Right.
You've already seen a lot of response from the technical colleges. I mean, we went through this again in 2011 doing a lot of planning, so they know what they need to do.
What about residents of the inner city of Milwaukee who get their news maybe in different ways than you and I do?
Well, we have a person on our staff and who did this in 2011 and is back at us, and now our voter services individual is looking at our list of community groups. And to some extent, they come to us as well, saying, you know, we need to know more information about this. We had them engaged in 2011. Our goal is to get them engaged again in 2014.
Okay. Actually, I want to thank you for providing a graphic that we're going to show now, acceptable forms of photo IDs, because this is very helpful as people begin to say, oh my gosh, what do I have, and is it acceptable? So kind of walk us through this from top row left, University College. Is this what's going to be given those students who are in the University of Wisconsin system now?
This is one of the UW system IDs. Now, there is a special wrinkle with UW IDs. They also have to show current proof of enrollment.
Okay.
The UW ID has to meet certain standards, or the college IDs have to meet certain standards, not only the picture of the voter, but it has to have an expiration date and a signature of the voter. But with it, they have to show current proof of enrollment.
Okay.
I mean, it's hard to believe, but some college students don't make it through the first few weeks of a semester, so they might have an ID card, but they may not be enrolled at the time of the election.
Well, we're talking about college students. Will the tech colleges be issuing these cards? And what about private colleges like Carroll and Lawrence?
I don't know if they are issuing them, but if they meet the requirements, a tech college and a private college ID would work.
Okay. Then this is the state ID. We just did an interview with someone at the Department of Transportation to talk about that process. That's a separate process. I was surprised to learn that they have already issued more than 200,000 state IDs. And going back to the 2011 law.
Right, going back to the 2011 law.
Right. Yeah,
not since last week.
No, not since last week. They haven't issued very many since last week, but since the 2011 law. Wisconsin driver or state ID receipt. Now, what is this? I've applied for a driver's license, and this tells the whole world that I have?
Basically, yeah. When you go in to get your new driver's license or state ID, you don't get that document at the time. So they give you a receipt that conforms to that requirement and has the picture, has everything that you need. It's temporary, 2, 3, 4 weeks. You'd have to ask the DOT folks that, but that receipt, if you went in on Halloween,
yep,
and show up on November 4th, the
yes,
receipt will get you.
Okay. Tribal ID, does that also have to be issued for time certain?
No.
It does not?
No.
Okay. Certificate of naturalization. This is an INS document?
It's an INS document. My recollection is it has to be current within 2 years. The idea is that after 2 years, you ought to have gotten a passport or some other document.
Okay.
But a recently issued certificate of naturalization.
And, of course, it was Wisconsin driver's license. And what if it's out of date? What if it expired 6 months ago, 7 months ago? It's one of my
six,
books.
7 months are good because basically what the law says, as long as it was current as of the last general election, so we're looking at November 2012.
That's very useful information. And then passbook is also acceptable? A passport, excuse me.
A passport is definitely acceptable.
Okay. And U.S. Unified Uniform Services.
Your military ID.
What if I served in the military 10 years ago or something?
I'm not sure that there's an expiration date on these.
Okay.
I don't think that IDs carry an expiration date.
Now, let's go back to something you said. You believe 90% of Wisconsin voters have one of these forms of ID, so they don't have a problem.
That's right.
Okay.
Probably more than 90%.
Okay. So the other 10%, the burden is on them to take affirmative acts to get an ID. Where should they go for information? What if they don't know if they have an acceptable form?
Number of places. One, go to the Bring It to the Ballot website, type in Bring It to the Ballot Wisconsin, and it'll get you to our little microsite that we developed in 2011 that we've reviewed, or the GAB's website links you to that information. Certainly, if you don't have the ID and you need to get it.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Transportation's Division of Motor Vehicles, several offices throughout the state, is the best place to go. Even if you don't have your birth certificate with you, they can assist you with that. They also have a process if you need a birth certificate from another state where they can work with them. So they've taken on, as part of the state Supreme Court decision, working with some of these people who are particularly challenged because of their lack of access to a birth certificate, or they also have a petition review process.
Okay. Someone goes to the polls and now they have to show a photo ID. They don't show an acceptable photo ID. What happens to their vote, or them?
Well, they get to vote, but it's a provisional ballot. They have to come back by 4:30 on the Friday following the election with acceptable proof of ID.
And the laundry list of acceptable documents that constitute acceptable proof of ID are on your website or DOT's or what?
Right, and the graphic you just put up.
And the graphic, okay. Okay. Does this at all affect same-day voter registration?
It doesn't affect same-day registration.
We can still register on the same day as long as?
As long as you have proof of residence, your state-issued ID, your driver's license, assuming that they are current. The big issue with election day registration is the document that you show has to be a current document establishing your residence.
Current meaning?
Current meaning that it's valid for that day. So you can't have an expired driver's license or an expired ID card. Your utility bill has to be within 60 days of the date of the election. If you bring in and what we're looking there with election day registration is the residence and the person's name. That's the key issue with election day registration.
What about names? I may present a document that says my name is Bob, and are you looking for Robert, or are you looking for an official match?
When, you know, it's interesting, we've broken this down for the voters and for the poll workers. When a voter walks into the polling place, assuming that they're already registered to vote, they don't have to go through the election day registration process, right, and they're at the current address. They walk in, there's three things they have to do. They state publicly their name and their address, the poll worker looks them up. They show the identification card to the poll worker, mm-hmm, who's going to look at that, and I'll get to that in a minute, and they sign the voter list.
Yes.
Those are the three things the voter has to do in order to get a ballot. When the ID card is presented to the poll worker, they're looking at four things. Is it an acceptable form of ID?
Yeah.
Is it current? Does the name on the ID conform to the name on the poll list? In other words, Fred or Frederick, Steve or Stephen, Kathy or Kathleen. Those are the kind of things that they're looking for that. Initials, Kevin J. Kennedy might show up as KJ Kennedy.
And that would be fine.
And that would be fine. So they're looking, and they're looking to make sure that the picture reasonably resembles the voter. We all lose.
DMV pictures are not maybe our best shots,
but
they're better than mug shots. But go ahead, Kevin.
I certainly know that I'm better looking than my picture. Maybe not.
I don't want to see your picture, but go ahead and make your point.
Well, as I said, the picture has to reasonably resemble them. You know, we know that people lose weight, gain weight, lose hair, grow hair.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of things that can do that. They have their glasses on, they have their glasses off. Our experience, we had a number of elections in 2011 where it was a ask, but you don't have to show it experience. All of our recall elections, we went through that way. A number of special elections in 2011.
Yes.
And then we had, so the poll workers have had some experience with this. Now, many of them have turned over since February of 2012, but, our sense is people, the poll workers are able to do those four steps, and that will be drilled into them in the next 6 to 7 weeks. This is what you have to remember. And we expect that things are going to run reasonably smoothly.
Well, the GAB oversees a process. The clerks actually conduct the elections, but then you have an army. How many volunteers on Election Day work at the polls?
I'm not sure. Usually I get these numbers afterwards. So let's look at 2012, which
Please.
Is going to be higher. We know we had almost 35,000 poll workers.
How many thousand?
35,000.
And they range in age and
they
demographics.
They range in age from 16 years old, because we allow high school students to work at the polls,
yes,
to well over my age. People in their 70s and 80s are working at the polls.
You are trying to achieve a uniform standard here with that variety of people ranging in age from 16 to 80s. How are the clerks going to do that in the next 6 weeks, six and a half?
Well, we focus on keeping it simple. We try to solve the problems that individual voters have before Election Day. On Election Day, as I said, it's a three-step process for the voter. The only thing that's new is pulling out the identification card. And I can tell you, between February 2012 and even in August, I had voters, I'd be observing at polling places, they had their ID cards in their hand. So there is a sense of that. It's gotten a lot of attention. We hope to keep it in front of the voters for the next six plus weeks. The poll workers, again, we boiled it down to four very simple steps mm-hmm. on that. Are there nuances? Yes. But we have a lot of resources for the clerks. One of the benefits that we have is it's easy to access our website. So if a problem comes up on Election Day, the clerk, you know, we do this every Election Day. We have a lot of resources where they're calling into us. We get hundreds of phone calls from our local election officials on Election Day. So we will be, you know, prepared to solve those problems. But for most situations, it's not going to be a problem.
Okay, let's play this out. Someone comes in with a photo ID that they feel qualified, and the poll worker says, with all due respect, I don't think this is a qualified ID. What happens next? Is there a supervisor that comes over?
At every polling place, we have what's called a chief inspector. We call our poll workers inspectors. And there's a chief inspector who is required to have special training from the GAB, an extra 6 hours of training over a two-year period. That person's picked by the clerk, so it's someone the clerk has confidence in. That's the clerk's representative at the polling place. They're going to resolve any problems, or they're going to escalate it to the municipal clerk, who may escalate it to us.
Does the inspector have the power to say, I approve a provisional ballot for this voter?
It's not a question of approving. Their instructions are, if the person shows up with no ID, and obviously if the ID that they present doesn't conform to this, that's the same thing, they get a provisional ballot.
Okay. We're looking at potentially a turnout, given the polls showing how close it is for governor, of 2.1, 2.2 million.
Or more.
Two, three, whatever. You can pick a number.
Sure.
You've been doing it for a couple decades. Here's my point. Since we've added a process, show me your ID, okay, this is good, haven't we added the potential for lengthier delays at the polls, sir?
Yes, it's very possible. We had some clerks in 2011 do some tests saying that it added 30 seconds or more sometimes to the process.
Okay. But 30 seconds times 2.2. Go ahead, million.
Well, bear in mind that probably 12% of the people who vote aren't going to be at the polls.
Oh.
They'll have voted absentee.
We'll talk about absentee in a minute. Yeah. Go ahead.
So at this election, and it might be higher than that, but our numbers in the past have been in the 10-12 percent for gubernatorial elections.
For gubernatorial, but in the presidential, 1 in 5.
That's right. The last
cast
the
absentee.
Last two.
21% absentee.
But we had a recall election in 2012. We'll get back to absentee.
Okay.
But we've also, lines were a problem nationally in 2012. Got a lot of attention, but they tended to be an aberration. Wisconsin was evaluated. Just like every state was, and we had some of the shortest lines in the country, and that jives with my observations from being at the polling places. There's always a line when the polls open. There were very few lines throughout the state in 2012, with a lot more people. Obviously, we didn't have the voter ID step in place. You know, we have Election Day registration, which does can slow down the process for some voters as well. They go to a separate process, but that's part of a line.
Yes.
At that point, so that.
So should voters generally expect to face longer delays on November 4 because of the photo ID process?
I think they can expect to have some delays, and this is, you know, we have a message that we've consistently put out there, which is be prepared. In this case, it's get your ID lined up before Election Day. Be patient. Because we expect people to want to participate, and then you can go and participate. So that's our three P's at the polling place.
Let's talk about addresses. Now, you have benchmarks. The SVRS, State Voter Registration, is a master list, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So if someone recently moved within the last year or two, stayed in the same municipality, okay, you show me on the SVRS is 1 Pine Street, but last year I moved to 2 South Street. but my photo, my driver's license, is the old address. Is that a problem because the address conflicts with what you show on the SVRS?
It is not a problem for the ID part if they haven't changed the registration before Election Day. In other words, if the poll list shows them at their old address, they won't be able to vote there at that old address.
Yes, because they probably have to go to a different polling place,
that's right,
is what you're saying?
And that's where the Election Day registration comes in, and I mentioned that you have to have a current proof of residence. But if we want to stay focused just on photo ID,
okay,
the key element is the picture and the name. It is not the address. And that's a recognition that we issue driver's licenses that are good for 8 years, that while you might change the address, you change it online, you don't get a sticker, you don't pay the $4 or whatever it is to get a new one issued. So your driver's license address may be different. If it's current, and even for photo ID, it could be expired up to November of 2012, and we'll still permit it. They're focused on the picture and the name.
Thank you.
And even then, it doesn't have to be exact.
Okay. Are we going to see PSAs in the next 6 weeks talking about this requirement? Are you going to go to finance and say, we need X amount of money to make voters aware of this?
We plan to go to Joint Finance to ask for the money. Joint Finance set aside a couple $100,000 for us to primarily to hire individuals. We're going to focus on, we want to spend that money on getting on the air. Obviously that wasn't in the budget for this year,
yeah,
but it was something that Joint Finance planned for in the sense of, well, we'll have some resources for you.
Now let's talk about absentee ballots because they've grown so exponentially. 20% in the presidential election, and you say about 10% in this election for governor.
Yes. Well, I said it was 10 to 11% the last two elections,
yes,
for governor, including the recall.
But they're growing. So what I found surprising in your news conference on Wednesday, X number of absentee ballots had already been sent out. How many?
That we were able to track because our clerks have a requirement to track every absentee ballot. We give them a tool in our statewide voter registration system. A large number of clerks use that. We saw almost 12,000 ballots as of that Friday had already either been mailed or the mailing label had been generated so that ballot was about to go out.
Okay. And some absentee ballots had been returned.
That's right.
So talk to me now about, since absentee ballots are growing so much, what's going to happen to absentee ballots that have already been sent out and come back?
Well, we want to make sure that we're applying the rules that are in place so that we don't have different sets of rules. Under normal circumstances, to get an absentee ballot, you have to provide identification or a copy of identification. Most absentee voting takes place in the clerk's office, so it's just show the document just like you would at the polling place.
Okay.
For people who are having the ballots mailed to them,
yes,
and that's about one out of every four.
One in four.
Yeah.
Thanks.
They have to have provided the ID, and so we have instructed the clerks, you already mailed a ballot to them, you've got an address, you send them a written communication telling them that their ballot's not going to be counted unless they provide a copy of the identification for your file. And then we've also said, don't just send the letter. If you don't hear from them, follow up. We want the first communication to be in writing, and then they can use email, telephone numbers, however they can reach them. We've asked the clerks to make several attempts at this. This is where I've said the clerks are going to go above and beyond. People who are in this job are people who are public servants, and the emphasis is on the servants.
Yes.
That's what they do. And so, we know we're asking them to do a lot, but this is an extraordinary time, and we expect them to make extraordinary efforts.
Let's say I vote absentee, and I've already got my ballot, and I sent it back, and then my clerk tells me, you must now submit a photo ID. I don't read this very clearly. I send back a copy of my birth certificate. Doesn't have my photo ID. What happens to my ballot?
Well, hopefully the certificate arrives quickly enough that the clerk calls, reaches back out and says, I need a photo ID. Now, we gave them a template.
Yes.
So it doesn't say, doesn't make any references to birth certificates. It tells you, you need to provide a photo ID. There's a brief description in the template letter that they can use. And obviously, there's instructions on our website, how to get to our website, to see what's needed. We wanted to make sure that the message was uniform out there. We didn't want people reinventing the wheel with each letter. So
will I be told if I vote absentee and the clerk says that is not acceptable form of ID, will I be told that my ballot, which I thought I cast, is not going to be counted? Is there any?
Yeah. What happens to the ballots that are out there and the people who show up with ID is they are provisional ballots. Our law requires that those provisional ballots be tracked. So every municipality has to have, and we have a mechanism where they can get that up, a list of all their provisional ballots. Now, in the past, we've had very, very few provisional ballots because it applies in very limited circumstances. Someone who registers to vote on election day says, I've got a driver's license, but I don't know the number. Well, when you register to vote, you've got to give your driver's license number if you have it. So we give them a provisional ballot. Someone who registered to vote by mail who's never voted in Wisconsin has to show that proof of residence document as well. We're talking, you know, less than 100 out of 3 million.
Okay.
Now the numbers could very easily be higher. So there will be a lot more follow-up for that, and those 3 business days will probably be a little crazy.
Does GAB and or local clerks have the ability to go in and check driver's license numbers matching a specific driver with his or her driver's license number?
Well, we do that with every registration that comes into the office.
Is that on the SVRS, State Voter Registration System?
It is, but it's an overnight process. So, you know, we're not talking about, I wasn't quite sure where you're going with your question, but, you know, to get into the registration system, if you have a driver's license, you have to give that number, and if you don't, the ID number will work, which has the same 16-digit format. Or if you don't, then you give the last 4 digits of your Social Security. Part of our registration process is to match that up. And we do that primarily for a data control process.
Okay. GAB got sued last week by the Assembly Speaker Boss and the Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald over the design of the ballot. You're a pretty good lawyer, so you're probably going to tell me you can't talk about a pending lawsuit. But I bet you can answer this question. Who has the ultimate authority to design the ballot, GAB or local clerks?
The Government Accountability Board is required by law to develop the format for the ballot, prescribe the forms. Part of the idea is to make sure that the names, we give them the names of the candidates for state and federal office, which are the proper order of the offices, the proper party order. That's our job to do. We give them direction on that, but the county clerk is responsible for printing the ballot. So there is a lot of flexibility. If you go to our website right now, we have 69 of the 72 ballots that are actually going to be voted up on the website. And, you know, without commenting on the lawsuit, you know, the template that we give them to start with is a Word document. It is not what goes through the printer. So it looks different. And the county clerks have some flexibility for that. You know, a number of the ballots have to be changed slightly because there's different types of voting equipment used throughout the state. People who use paper ballots. Now, 90% of our ballots are optical scan, but there's 2 different layouts for that. One that uses ovals for the name, one that has an arrow across from the candidate's name to be completed. So there are some design differences throughout the state, and you'll see that not all the ballots look exactly the same. And some of them probably look better than others.
Without getting you to discuss the merits of the case, Counselor, let me ask this question. Does the lawsuit filed by Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Fitzgerald have the potential to be another major problem for the voting process before November 4? Just the potential.
Well, I think that we'll see how things play out in court in the next couple of weeks on that. Obviously, you know, we started this process the same way. With the voter ID, is that a challenge? You know, it happened later than I would certainly have preferred it to happen, but we still have lots of time, and there's a major commitment to doing that. that. So any change in the process. We've had situations where there were mistakes on ballots, not a statewide issue, where someone had to correct something. You know, a local candidate's name was spelled wrong. An office was left off the ballot. So we've had to address ballot printing problems in the past on individual basis, usually a local issue on that. Ideally, you know, we expect the primary focus is to get people to the polls with the proper identification and able to fully participate.
One final question. With potential longer times to vote, potential and more election observers than ever, and potentially contested absentee ballots in terms of, yes, this was acceptable ID or not, do we have the potential here for Wisconsin? And polls released as recently as Wednesday showing we're still in a dead heat, the race for governor and attorney general. Do we have the potential for Wisconsin versions of Bush versus Gore?
I'm not so sure that we have Bush versus Gore problems, but what we do have is anytime you have a close election, there's much more scrutiny, and the election process is a very human-driven process. We were talking numbers before. You know, in our office, we have about 35 people working on elections, some on campaign finance and lobbying as well, 72 county clerks printing those ballots, receiving the election results on election night, certifying them to us, 1,852 municipal clerks who are the people on the ground, the people who are handling the absentee ballots, another up to 35,000 poll workers, and 2.2 million voters. That kind of combination of people means mistakes are going to be made. You just have to go back and look at the two recounts that we had.
Yes.
Human errors, all things that, you know, could be addressed within the consequence. We had some missing ballots when we went to the recount, but we also had a court process. Had those missing ballots been a factor in the outcome, mm-hmm. where a court could have reviewed that process and may have been able to weigh in on that. So we have a process. We are in much better shape than Florida of 2000 to resolve election disputes.
Okay.
And we shouldn't be surprised that there are going to be mistakes, that there's going to be differences of opinion. That happens when you have that many people involved.
Okay, let's end it on a positive note. Voters should know about the photo ID. Go ahead, finish it. Just give the basic summary.
Well, the basic summary is you are required to bring an ID in order to vote, so bring it to the ballot. Take it to your polling place on election day. Be prepared. We got plenty of time. Maybe this will air on November 3rd, but be prepared. Be patient, because change always requires that, and anytime you're in a public situation, patience is important. And you'll be able to fully participate in the election at the polling place if you do.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in here as a public service. If you need to come back a week before November 4th to make some of these points again as we get closer to the election, you're invited back. Kevin Kennedy, General Counsel and Director of the Government Accountability Board, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.